Hello and welcome to the Earfuel podcast. As always, I'm Joel Freemark, and you can follow me on Twitter at @GetEarfuel and at The Daily Guru. The podcast is available in the iTunes store under Earfuel and at soundcloud.com/GetEarfuel. Glad to have you along this week for a number of reasons. No album review this time around, as I want to dig into a topic that has, well, not a topic, the topic that's dominated the last week in the world of music, but delve a bit deeper and kind of look into some of the historical context. The news in question is, of course, that Prince passed away last week at the age of 57. This year had already been a tough one for music fans, with the passing of David Bowie, Merle Haggard, Fife Dog, and so many others, and now Prince. It was beyond unexpected when Prince passed away. But here's the thing. It's been a few days now, and the news of his death, you know, maybe not so much the news of his death, but everyone talking about his genius, his contributions to the world of music, they've been covered and analyzed ad nauseum. It's everywhere. It's not to say that you can really say enough about someone that huge, such an icon, but I don't want to spend a ton of time on the man's career, just a bit, because I really want to discuss not only why his death is slightly different, and in some cases very different, but how the death of famous musicians has changed over the decades and why we're seeing such large backlash against fans the last few times this has happened. So to begin, Prince. For the last few decades, the man has defined his own musical universe. Rock, funk, R&B, hip-hop, jazz, dance. There's really no genre that Prince couldn't work brilliantly in. And I mean, the guy did just shy of 40 records in about that many years. It's a ridiculous amount of output, especially when you consider the high level of quality. And that's also not taking into account the rumored hundreds and hundreds of unreleased tracks in the, let's be honest, they're mythical, the Prince Vault at Paisley Park. The guy was incredibly prolific, and he also had a knack for surrounding himself with outstanding musicians, whether it was Sheila E., Wendy and Lisa, the New Power Generation, The Revolution, his most recent band, Third Eye Girl. These were phenomenal musicians, and he was able to bring out the best in him. And it was often through these collaborations that allowed his music to properly find new worlds. Now, I mean, a lot of people know that on a lot of the records, Prince played all the instrumentations, but either when he wasn't doing that or in the live performances, they really helped to bring these songs a different light. And that's kind of what it was. Prince, he wanted you to feel his music. The grooves were deep, but the passion and emotion in every single word, it was deeper. It's why Raspberry Beret makes you want to sing and dance even after you've heard it a million times. It's why the opening of Let's Go Crazy can still stop every single party so everyone can like have their arms in the sky and do the Dearly Beloved. Everyone does it. It's not just you. Don't worry. And it's why the reason the song like Purple Rain is, I mean, it's Purple Rain, right? Even people covering his songs had no choice but to bring out all of the emotion in those words. Whether it was Sinead O'Connor or Chris Cornell from Soundgarden, the lyrics to Nothing Compares to You are devastating in a beautiful way. That was it. If you're not a huge Prince fan, that is also why so many people are so upset. His music touched people deeper and differently than most people. It consumed your entirety. He was an artist that united people from across musical genres because, honestly, it's actually very difficult to find someone that doesn't at least moderately dig Prince songs, at least one. They might not love them, but everyone has a Prince track. They're like, yeah, I can get behind that. So, yeah, Prince's music was both potent and powerful, and it had within it the one commonality that I think people miss is that in almost every song, it had a vibrancy of life. It was life-affirming music. It made you want to be a better person or at least enjoy every second. It might be a sad song, but that was always it for me. The vibration of life was in every Prince song. And now he's gone. Very suddenly. At least to the vast majority of the world, it was suddenly. We don't know what was going on in his inner circle. 57 years old. It's not young, but it's far from old. And I think that's one of the big reasons there's been such a massive outpouring of sadness with his passing. It was his age, in a way. In a way, it was his age. And as we begin to delve into some of the intricacies with his passing and musicians dying in general, I want to bring in a second voice because, let's be honest, you hear enough of mine. So joining me to talk about all of this, it's actually, now that I think about it, it's the first person that I called when I found out Prince died. And it also happens to be the person who was sitting right next to me when I learned that David Bowie died earlier this year. It's my fiance. Hi, Dara.
Hi, Joel.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Well, thanks for finding some time to sit down and talk about Prince.
Happy to. It was an extremely sad moment for me. And you are the person who told me. I got a text from you at work, and I believe you said something to the effect of, "Sorry, there's a lot right now, Prince." Yeah. And I immediately thought, what? And I you know, went online, I looked at the news, and I called you immediately. I knew how upset you would be. And my mind was just spinning because I felt like we just dealt with a loss yesterday.
Right. It feels like we just finished with the Bowie thing.
Yeah.
The Bowie.
We'll never be finished with the Bowie.
Or the Prince.
Let's be honest.
You know, what I was about to say is that, and it's right on with that. And you and I discussed this over the weekend. I think one of the reasons people are taking Prince's passing so hard is his age. I mean, when Merle Haggard died a few weeks ago, he was 79. And I don't mean that it wasn't sad or that Merle Haggard's impact on music was somehow of a lesser extent, but for all intents and purposes, Merle Haggard had made the contributions he was going to make. He wasn't retired, but he wasn't making any real new musical ground. Prince, on the other hand.
Well, first of all, I had no idea who Merle Haggard was.
Which I think is a great point.
And you told me, you know, you were upset because Merle Haggard died, and I thought maybe that was like a long-lost uncle of yours or something. I had no idea.
In some ways, a long-lost musical uncle.
But in a way, that was an interesting moment because then you got to tell me why he was so important
to
the community.
And I think that is one of the differences with Prince, in that Merle Haggard was an icon, not so much to a different generation, but to a kind of specific group, where Prince was just everywhere.
Yeah, he spanned almost all genres. Mm-hmm. Although I don't think Prince ever did any country music, did he?
I'm sure I could find a good example of Prince doing country.
Or maybe it's in his vault.
Maybe
you
it's
never
in the
know.
Vault.
It's
exactly.
Probably in the vault.
Exactly. Purple Rain.
Yeah, but you know, the thing is, with his passing, you know, it makes me realize that I probably only really internalized a sliver of his discography.
Sure.
You know, and a lot of it was before I was even born, or it was when I was very young.
Yes, very
too
young.
Not before I was born, but too young to really appreciate Prince. And so later on, I was able to go back and say, oh, wow, like Purple Rain, holy shit, or 1999. But, you know, I came up in the era of the new power generation.
Diamonds and Pearls.
Diamonds
Cream,
and Pearls.
Get off,
1991.
Yeah.
Yeah, that all that was my jam.
Sure. Little did people. And that's true for most people, that they really got turned on to Prince. You know, people, say, who are right now under the age of 40, for the most part, got turned on in that era, in the new power generation, and didn't know the Years of the Revolution. They didn't know the Controversy album or things like that. And there's nothing wrong with that, because, man, I remember the first time I heard Get Off, I was like, I shouldn't be listening to this.
This is kind of
so
naughty.
Dirty. Right. And then he had that performance. So cool. If you haven't seen it, MTV was kind enough last week to upload Prince's performance of Get Off from the 91 VMAs or something like that, right in those years. It is an extraordinary performance. These days, it would be not very high on the Racy scale, but if you put it in the time that it came out, and you just watch it, it's phenomenal. But
what's so racy about it?
I mean, first off, you have guys who are wearing string bikini bottoms, and there are clothes. I mean, there's a lot of ass in it. and you know, Prince is humping the floor, as he is wont to do, with like four other guys on top of him humping him, and it's. I mean, the song "Get Off" is about as sexual a song as you get.
Pretty straightforward.
Yeah. And it's just, you also get to just see the performance ability of Prince, because he's like jumping all over the stage and he's wearing like 4-inch heels and stuff like that. It's like, it's amazing. And he's in those clothes that nobody else on the planet could wear the clothes that Prince wore and get away with it.
Yeah.
Nobody.
And still turn everybody on.
Everybody.
Everybody on.
Kind of like with Bowie. You know, girls want to be with him. Guys are like, yeah, you know, I wouldn't say no to Prince.
Exactly.
Because he's Prince.
They were very similar in that way.
We'll talk about that in a bit. Not to derail us, but to pull it back a bit, I think it really is the fact that Prince touched so many lives, but at the same time, he wasn't done.
Yeah, he was only 57. To me, that is extremely young.
And
that's way before retirement age. And musically, like you said, he was so prolific. Mm-hmm. And he was still touring. And he still had more to say.
Yeah, and I think that's also why so many people took the loss of Bowie so hard, because Black Star, in the opinion of many, mm-hmm. is an extraordinary record. It's an extraordinary record, and it kind of said, like, hey, I ain't done yet, you know? And Prince...
Except he knew that
right,
was coming out.
Well, we know
out.
That now. We have that context now that he was like, not only is this going to be my last album, but I'm not going to see the first week sales numbers.
Yeah, incredible.
But I think that's it with Prince. You know, he had just released a pair of records last year. In case everybody didn't know that, he did a double album last year. I think it was called Hit and Run. And was it his greatest work?
No.
But he was pushing into a new sound. And you saw it in his image. He had, the afro and the third eye glasses. He's like, I'm going to go down this new creative path. And I think that's the difference that you find in musicians is, Prince wasn't done yet.
Yeah, he was still reinventing himself and his sound. And everyone was still, waiting for him to do his next thing. And it felt like a cold splash of water in the face. Like, really? It was very upsetting.
Yeah, it didn't make sense. It was like, wait, when Bowie died, you're kind of like, wow, what's a world like without David Bowie in it?
Yeah.
But when Prince died, you're like, that doesn't even make sense that Prince is dead?
I was in complete denial all that first day. Mm. Well, also, we weren't sure.
Right. It was TMZ that broke it. And you're like,
we were like, I don't know if this is real. And then there were things, Snopes. And on Wikipedia, they were saying, don't believe that he's dead.
And I don't think a lot of people realize that Prince was 57. Like that he was, in fact, that old. I think a lot of people were like, yeah, Prince, he's like in his 40s, right?
Yeah. Well, he's always kind of looked the same.
Yes, Prince has not aged really. The facial hair has gotten slightly different.
I think he was vegan.
Yes,
I think that maybe that's a pro vegan thing.
Yeah, and I know he took a lot of B12 injections. It was in his tour rider. That's the level of nerdiness I know is that I've read Prince's tour rider.
Yeah, I don't go that deep.
Well, I want to talk about that too in a little bit. But with what you were saying. A lot of people were getting pissed off on the internet because that's what the internet is for. But because so many people were drawing comparisons between Prince and David Bowie, and I don't think it's all that outrageous a comparison to make.
No, absolutely not. I would say that they are both magical unicorns. And
magical musical unicorns.
They are mythical creatures, and I really do feel like they are immortals.
Mm-hmm.
As many musicians are, but in a different way.
Yeah.
They're special. They're aliens.
Yeah.
The fact that they can keep reinventing themselves over and over and over again and still have a fresh sound. And I didn't love everything that they both did over the years, but they kept doing things that piqued my interest and collaborating with interesting people across different genres. Bowie collaborating with Trent Reznor in Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
Sure.
I think they both kept it really fresh, and their style.
They were both style icons.
They were both style
huge.
Icons,
and I think that's what it is. They were both cultural icons, style, sexuality. They almost seemed like they were like on another plane of intellect than everybody else.
Like they just don't belong here on Earth with the rest of us.
But they're more than happy to just entertain the hoi polloi.
Yeah. Yeah. And both, kind of dabbling in androgyny.
Right. They oozed sexuality.
Yeah, absolutely.
Prince was a bit more straightforward with it musically in every single song, basically. But, Bowie's just, it was the same thing. I mean, who didn't want to be with David Bowie in 1978? I think really the only difference is Bowie was a decade older. And I think for some reason kind of by... close-minded people is given this higher status for some unknown reason.
Well, that's an interesting idea. What do you mean by that? Why don't you give me a little more background on
that? I will. Thank you. I will. I'd be more than happy to. I feel like when Bowie died, the world across every generation was mourning. The world was in mourning. And I feel like there's this dividing line now with who's been mourning Prince, and that some people, I don't want to say it's a race thing, but part of me thinks it's a bit of a race thing, and that Prince's music is, again, more overly sexualized. I don't know. I just feel like there's something strangely different in how the universe is reacting to Prince's death.
The universe or the fan or the super fans?
Not
because with Bowie, I don't think I saw quite as much backlash from people online about you're not really a fan.
Yeah.
As they are for Prince.
And maybe that's it. Social media is one of the big differences here.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think
social media is the same when Bowie and Prince died.
Yeah, yeah. And I've definitely seen more backlash. I mean, I told you about this the other day. A friend of mine put out a tweet and it said something to the effect of, if you didn't know Prince wrote Manic Monday, you weren't really a Prince fan. And that to me, that's elitist crap. And it misses the point completely. It's also wrong because you might not even know who the Bangles are. Honestly, you could have been born in 1995 and love Prince and not know who the Bangles are, because they don't really have much to do with, one doesn't have much to do with the other. And that's kind of the style of hating that I've seen going on.
A little social bullying.
Yeah. And like musical elitism, like, oh, I knew that Prince wrote for the Bangles.
He wrote for a ton of people. Again, very prolific guy. Mm-hmm. And apparently he didn't think that his voice was, you know, perfect for every single song he wrote. And so you get people like Alicia Keys doing his songs. You get the Bangles, obviously. You get Sinead O'Connor.
Yeah.
And that's fine if you are just finding this out for the first time.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
Right.
You know, you may only know a handful of Prince's songs, and
you could only know one
and be a Prince fan.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a total nerd like some people I know.
I don't know who you're talking about.
To appreciate a song and to have it affect you in some way. And if a song affects you, then that artist affects you. And if that artist affects you, then you can call yourself some kind of a fan.
You can love the song, and it's the first one that popped in my head. You can love Purple Rain as a song.
Yeah.
You don't have to know that a large portion of it was recorded live at the First Avenue venue in Minneapolis. You don't have to know it.
But that's a cool thing to
find
out.
It's a cool thing to know, but it doesn't mean that I love the song more or can appreciate it on a different level because I know that.
Right. We have the same ears.
No, my ears are mine.
Right. Yes. But you know what I mean.
Everybody listening just rolled their eyes.
Ugh. What, people hate us right now, Joel.
But no, I think that's the point, is that when an artist dies, the internet becomes this pissing contest of, you know, well, I know 9 Prince songs. Well, I know 11 Prince songs and I saw him in concert twice. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If you loved an artist, and even if it was for just one song, I mean, that's the beautiful thing about music, and you alluded to it. Songs resonate differently with everyone, and you might only like one song from one artist, but it can still hit you just as hard, and you have every right to be bummed.
Yeah, exactly. This is not a contest of who is more sad, you know, because you saw every single concert versus someone who's only listened in the comfort of their own home or their car. You know, I don't think that's fair. And again, that's something that we didn't see with Bowie. At least I didn't notice.
No, it really wasn't there.
But for some reason, Prince is really dividing people in a bizarre way.
And it makes no sense. I mean, you know, with what you were just saying about, you could have seen every concert, it doesn't make you a bigger fan. You know, like, I remember a little over a decade ago when Joe Strummer died.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, and a lot of people who listen know, Joe Strummer's my musical hero. I was born after the Clash did their best work. And by the time I was able to go to see concerts, the Clash had been done for, you know, almost a decade by that point. I never saw Joe Strummer live, but when I got the email that he died, it leveled me because he meant so much to me, and yet I wasn't part of the cultural revolution that existed when the Clash came to be in the late 70s and all that. I was of a completely different generation. And it still knocks you on your ass, because that's the power of music, that you connect that deeply with someone you've never met. People are crying because Prince died.
Mm-hmm.
99% of those people who are crying never met Prince. And a large portion of those people, probably upwards of 90%, never even saw him live.
Right.
You know, I think what it comes down to, why people are kind of so sick of it right now, you know, is first we were on the tail end of the wave of David Bowie.
Mm-hmm.
And then this happened. But I think the difference is deaths of famous musicians now are much more public affairs. You know, in 1980, when John Lennon died, they famously interrupted Monday Night Football to make the announcement. And then people gathered all over the world having shrines and stuff. And it might have been the lead story on the nightly news for a few days. And that was about it. You know, when Kurt Cobain died in the 90s, there were kids making shrines in their bedroom, and like bands across the world were playing Nirvana songs live on stage that night.
Mm-hmm.
And it was probably, again, about 5 minutes on the news, unless it was MTV news, and then it dominated. When Michael Jackson died a couple of years later, I mean, that dominated the news cycle for weeks. It was really, you know, the papers you picked up, it was all over. And in all of those, those deaths were the conversation at work, at school, wherever. People were just talking about it.
Right.
And the difference to me now is that social media, these are kind of the first really big deaths to happen with, when social media has been as pervasive as it is.
In
the music world, yeah. And everyone is sharing the same video, the same sound file, you know, the same news link or whatever. It's understandable that people are kind of getting sensory overload from it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same basic idea, though, is that people are publicly mourning a huge artistic loss. I mean, yeah, there's obviously some people who just kind of want some internet karma, so they're going to post some link. But I think the reason people see this as so huge and maybe are getting sick of it is
their feeds are getting inundated.
Exactly.
By it.
Exactly. And yeah, all they want to know, which is fine, is who won the NBA playoffs game. And they're just sick of, you know, every third post being someone writing about Prince.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason they don't have the ability to just like log off of Facebook for a few hours.
Right. Or just like unfollow.
Or not care.
Yeah.
They'd rather be bitter and say, you know, hey, person who's sad because a musician they like died, you shouldn't feel bad because you never met them. It's just the bitterness.
It's obnoxious.
It's just been a little strange that this time around it seems to be a dividing line in the sand, which really doesn't make sense, because that's not what Prince was about. If anybody was about coming together,
oh yeah,
in every sense of the word, it was Prince. You see what I did there?
You see like what that? You did
there. So anyway, thank you for sitting down with me, dear.
Oh, you're very welcome.
And everybody listening, what I want you to do is hit me up on Twitter at GetEarFuel and at The Daily Guru. And if you want to tell me your favorite Prince song, you can tell me your favorite Prince song, and we can talk about great Prince songs. But what I'm more interested in is, why do you think people on social media and everything are handling and approaching this death so drastically different than we did with David Bowie just a few months ago? What do you think's been going on? Before we call it a week, though, I do, of course, have your weekly Ear Fuel listening assignment. For those of you new to the podcast, each week I assign an album to listen to in full, beginning to end, without any distractions or interruptions. It stems from the idea that these days music has been largely relegated to a background task for most people. You're driving, you're at work, you're at the gym, whatever. And this assignment is about consciously listening to music for the sake of music alone. So this week, it was actually really strange. I sat down to write what it was going to be, and I was like, you know, I don't know, do I want to talk about a Prince album? Because I actually set the Ear Fuel listening assignments a few weeks in advance, and I just write them in, to tell you the truth. I have a spreadsheet. It's really non-technical, but just so I can keep track and I don't review the same album twice. When I did this a few weeks ago, I kid you not, the assignment I had for this week was Prince's Purple Rain, and it freaked me out a bit when I saw it was in there. I am not making this up. So this week, your listening assignment is Prince's Purple Rain album. You've probably heard tons about it over the last few days. So let me tell you why I love Purple Rain. There's not a bad second on it to begin with. And there are songs like Computer Blue and Baby I'm a Star that have one sound, and then Take Me With You and I Would Die For You have a totally different sound than that. Then you have Purple Rain, the title track, which is nearly 9 minutes long and is just this gorgeous instrumental piece that in a lot of ways doesn't fit with the rest of the record. It's a very sharp left turn if you don't know the movie, and you don't have to see the movie. If you want to see the movie, go see the movie, but you don't have to. For me, though, the most interesting track on the album is Darling Nikki, which was one of the first songs that the PMRC, the Parents Music Resource Group, the people who said we should have parental advisory explicit lyrics stickers, Darling Nikki was the first song they campaigned against because it's about a hooker. And it's really a cool song. My favorite songs, in case you're wondering, Take Me With You is one of my all-time favorite Prince songs. This also has Let's Go Crazy. Everybody knows that song. When Doves Cry, everybody knows that song. So it's got the hits and the different sounds that are going on here. It really shows you why he was such a diverse artist, because you have to remember that when this album was made, a lot of these instruments, styles and things like that, they weren't huge. There's synth sounds here. There's programmed drums here, live instrumentation. It's just, it is brilliant from beginning to end. And there's a reason why after, you know, 3 decades, people still go on and on and on about Prince's Purple Rain record. It's because it's that good. So go listen to Purple Rain. Now, here's the catch, though. Here's the catch. For all you people who are sitting there saying, I know Purple Rain. I've heard Purple Rain so many times. I even listened to Purple Rain the day Prince died because I love Purple Rain so much. Okay, fine. You get an alternate assignment, you overachiever, you. I want you to sit down and listen to Hit and Run Phase 1, the first of the two records that came out last year, because everybody knows Purple Rain who likes Prince. Not a ton of people picked up Hit and Run. So check it out and think about where Prince was going musically. Regardless of what you listen to, hit me up on Twitter. Tell me your favorite song that you loved off of that listening assignment. You can always find me on Twitter at GetEarFuel and at The Daily Guru. Love hearing from everybody. And the podcast is always available in the iTunes store under EarFuel and at SoundCloud.com/GetEarFuel. And hey, if you dug it, go tell a friend or three. That is your weekly EarFuel. Share and enjoy.